Go with me to one of my favorite Bible stories. One of my favorites, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Let's see if I can find my notes here. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, did anybody finish their Bible reading for this year? How many finished their Bible reading for this year? Amen. Read the Bible through all the way through. Praise the Lord. I was able to do that as well. And I do have these ordered, but I don't have them yet. So if you need a new Bible reading schedule, I don't have a whole bunch of different styles as far as if you like to read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There might be something left on the back shelf there. Nathan has one. I think I'm allowed to photocopy that one, so I can make more copies. But I have more of these coming. They should be here next week. So anyway, keep reading your Bible. It is important. Let's see if I can find my notes here. I'm sorry. I already pulled them out earlier. There we go. John chapter 21, please. John chapter 21. I love this story. For one reason, I like Peter, and he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Of course, Jesus, of course, is my favorite, but Peter, I like Peter because I can relate to Peter. I don't know about you, but the things that the Bible says about Peter, you know, he put his foot in his mouth quite a few times. That's me. He did things that weren't right, and in this story we're going to see that Jesus is dealing with him for denying Christ. And so I can relate to Peter. Peter is one of those fellows that is very human, very human. But let's read the story. John chapter 21, we're going to start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Excuse me, I'm going to have to get rid of this cough drop. Nathan, could you come up here and read this for me? The longer I talk, the worse my voice is going to get. Go ahead and read verses 1 through 19, please. Thank you.
Okay. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast thither, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Excuse me. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Where are we going to?
319.
Oh, sorry. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me.
Thank you. Follow me. The title of the message this morning is Jesus Forgives, Forgets, and Grants a Fresh Start. Jesus forgives, forgets, and grants a fresh start. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this story in the Bible. And thank you, Lord, for Simon Peter and the fact that you did not delete these accounts from the word when Simon Peter did things wrong and fell and sinned. Lord, thank you that we have them. And thank you, Lord, that we can learn from them and we can see Christ's love for us through the life of Simon Peter. Father, I pray that you bless now this message. Use it in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus forgives, forgets, and grants a fresh start. Peter's love for the Lord here is questioned three times. Why? Well, if you remember, Peter had three times denied Jesus Christ, right? Go back to Luke 22, and we can see that. Luke 22 and verse 34. Peter, during Jesus' trial, Peter had denied Christ three times. Luke 22, verse 34. This is Jesus prophesying to Peter of what he was about to do. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Before that, thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Okay, the rooster, the cock. Look at Mark 14. Mark 14. Jesus prophesied of this, three of the Gospels for sure, I know it's in, that Peter denied the Lord, but we're going to read about it in Mark 14, verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. It says, And as Peter was beneath in the palace, and this is the high priest's palace where Jesus was being tried, beneath in the palace there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. So we're back in John chapter 21 now. That is why Jesus is asking Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Lovest thou me? Let me get back to John chapter 21. And notice that first thing we need to learn and see in this is Peter did not get offended by that question. He was sorry that he brought it up three times. He said it three times. It grieved him. But he was not offended. He did not get all upset. Lord, why are you questioning my love? Because Peter knew what he had done. Peter knew that his sincerity is under question. We should never be offended to have our sincerity questioned when we have done that which makes it questionable. If we've done something wrong to somebody, and then they question my sincerity, our sincerity, don't get offended at that. If you have done something that causes your sincerity to be in question. And his love for Christ, his sincerity here, was in question. He didn't get blustery with the Lord in his response because he knew he deserved it to be questioned. And he knew he also deserved any sentence of judgment that the Lord would give to him. And Christ is dealing in public here with Peter in front of the other 10 disciples. Well, not 10, but there's some of them are missing. It's a group of about 6 or 7 of them here in this story. But it is public. It's public. And it was public because the other disciples needed to hear Christ reaffirm Peter's place. It was public because Peter's sin was public. He had publicly denied Christ. And so Christ is dealing with Peter in public. And the other disciples needed to know that Peter is reaffirmed as a disciple. That is known to the disciples when Jesus reissues his calling to Peter, follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus had said to all the disciples when he had called them to be his disciple. And so the disciples realized that, Peter is welcomed back into our number with that statement. But his love for the Lord is questioned. And the question is this, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? That's the first phrase Jesus says, the first question he puts to Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Perhaps, and I don't know for sure, but perhaps Jesus was asking Peter, lovest thou me more than your friends here? These buddies of yours, do you love me more than your buddies? Andrew, I believe, was there. Do you love me more than your brother Andrew? You see, we need to love Jesus Christ the most in our life. Matthew 10:37 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me, Jesus is speaking, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So this is what Jesus is putting to Peter. Do you love me? Your love is in question, Peter. Do you love me more than these buddies of yours? You need to. Do you love me more than your buddies? Do you love me more than your brother Andrew? Perhaps Jesus was also asking him, do you love me more than these things around us? The boat, the fishing nets, the enjoyment of fishing. Do you love me more than the pleasures of fishing, the relaxation of fishing? We saw in the story that Peter had kind of been lounging around, and he had taken off his outer coat, and he was lounging around, and he was relaxing. Do you love me, Peter, more than you love fishing, more than the relaxation and recreation and enjoyment of fishing? Also, he could have been asking, as far as these things, do you love me more than the riches that this occupation brings to you? Do you love me more than what this world has to offer? Go to John 12, please. Same book, John 12. Do you love me more than these? More than your friends? More than your brother? More than the pleasures of this life? More than the riches of this life. Do you love me more than these? John 12, And verse 25, he that loveth his life. And that phrase life could include all of life, the riches of life, the pleasures of life. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Interesting. What is the Lord talking about? Well, go to Mark chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8. We're in the Gospels quite a bit today. The four books of that begin the New Testament. Mark chapter 8. This passage gives a little bit more light, more understanding to what he means by losing your life. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And the rest of the verse there also, it gives more light to the whole passage. This is about the true use of life here and the value of a soul. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, in other words, not follow Jesus and do what you want with your own life, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, your life is absorbed in doing the things that Jesus wants you to do. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? If you get everything there is to have in life, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is going to live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. And if you lose your own soul, you will be in hell for all of eternity. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you have the wealth of the world, what would God accept from you in payment for escaping hell and going to heaven? There's nothing of this world that God would accept from you. Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So Peter, do you love me more than these things of life, Peter? And perhaps though Jesus was also alluding, go back to John 21, please. Perhaps Jesus was also alluding to Peter's boastful claim that he had made the night of Jesus' trial. His boastful claim. Peter had said, he said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That was pretty boastful. Even if all the other disciples run and are scared and flee away, I will never run away. I will be right there with you. I love you more than these, is what he was boasting. That's what he was kind of boasting right there. Perhaps Jesus is referring to that. Lovest thou me more than these men love me? Do you really love me more than these brethren love me, Peter? Lovest thou me more than these men love me? Do you indeed, Peter? You boasted about it, and then you failed miserably three times to stand up to it. So do you indeed, Peter, love me more than the other disciples do? Perhaps Jesus is referring to the fact that, Peter, you should. You should love me more than these other disciples do now, because I forgave you of denying me three times. Luke 7:41 talks about that. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He forgave one a huge debt and forgave one a teeny tiny debt. And Jesus asked the question, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Well, the one to whom the huge debt was forgiven is going to love that creditor more. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell Peter. You should love me more now, Peter. I have forgiven you. You wept and you repented, and I forgave you of that great debt for denying me three times. You do have more reason to love me than these other men do. You have been forgiven of more sin, of greater sin. Lovest thou me more than these? And notice how gently Christ is dealing here with Peter. This is very gentle. Peter's sin had been very grievous, very serious. To deny, to be a believer, and to deny that you even know Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the gravest offense a believer could do to the Lord Jesus now. The gravest one was when Judas Iscariot could betray Jesus, but we cannot betray Jesus into the hand of his enemies now. The gravest offense we can do now as a believer is to deny, no, I don't know who the Lord Jesus is. He hasn't done anything for me. Oh my, when Jesus paid your sin debt and washed your sins away and gave you eternal life. This is a grave, serious error here. Not only did he deny the Lord, but he added to his sin by swearing and cursing. Matthew 26 tells us a little bit more. Again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. So Peter had added to his grave sin by cursing and swearing, oaths. He's guilty of denying Christ three times. He's guilty of being unjustly angry. His anger there. Why were you angry? They're asking you if you know the fellow that you are supposed to love the very most in life. Why are you getting angry? He's guilty of cursing and swearing. His sin is worthy of a sound correction from the Lord. And doubtless Christ would have dealt with him more severely, except for one great fact. Peter had already truly repented. Go to Matthew 26 and verse 75, please. Matthew, first gospel. Matthew 26. And verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter had immediately become sorry for denying the Lord. He was mournful. He wept bitterly. That was repentance on Peter's part. That was repentance. And so Peter had repented of that sin. And so the Savior deals with their shattered relationship in the calmest and gentlest way possible, because Peter was already repentant. Calmest and gentlest way. In fact, Christ never, if you notice, Christ never actually brought up Peter's denial. Isn't that amazing? He never brings up Peter's denial. It's only hinted at by the three questions. The same question being repeated three times about his love. Jesus is plainly hinting, you denied me three times. Your love is being questioned three times, you see. But this is so gentle. This is the greatest example there ever could be of someone dealing gently with someone who wronged them. Especially someone who wronged you to the extreme Peter had done to Jesus. Christ begins his question to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Maybe that's a reminder of who Peter was without Christ. He doesn't say Cephas, he doesn't say Peter, which means a stone, because in that situation where he denied Jesus, he was not being a stone. He was just sinful flesh and blood. Simon, son of Jonas. Simon, son of Jonas, was a rash and hasty fisherman of Galilee. I think everybody knew Simon was a brash man. in his area. So he reminds Peter of who he is, Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these? In the first question, Christ uses the Greek word agape for love. He's asking Peter, do you love me, at least in general, Peter? Do you at least love me generally? You see, agape is the word that means how we would say, I love everyone. I love every person. I love the whole world. I don't have enmity toward anybody. I have charity toward all men. That's the word agape, charity. Okay? So when Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these, he's asking, is there a little bit greater charity in your heart for me than for these? A little bit greater charity? Matthew Henry, the commentator, says this. He said, quote, Peter had professed himself a penitent, witness his tears, and his return to the company of the disciples. But the question is not, Simon, how much hast thou wept? How often hast thou fasted and afflicted thy soul? That's not the question. But dost thou love me? Dost thou love me? It is this that will make the other expressions of repentance acceptable. The great thing Christ eyes in penitence is their eyeing him in their repentance. Then Matthew Henry illustrates his point with the story of the sinful woman anointing Jesus' feet with the ointment and wiping his feet with her hair. In Luke 7, the Bible says, much is forgiven her. Luke 7:47 says this, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And Matthew Henry says, much is forgiven her, not because she wept much, but because she loved much. She loved Jesus much. And that was Peter. His tears were evidence of his love for his Lord, even though he had denied his Lord. Peter was penitent. Peter was repentant. And so the Lord deals with him in the most gentlest way possible. Do you have at least a little bit of a greater love for me in your heart for me than for these? Lastly, let's look at Peter's answers and Christ's other responses. Every time Peter answers, he uses the word, not agape, not charity, but phileo. Phileo means love, but it means a dear, dear love. It means to love very dearly. It means a love more close than agape love. Christ asked him, do you have more charity for me than for these? And his reply is, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I dearly love thee. Notice that Christ asked him if he loves Christ more than these others do, and Peter's answer doesn't broach that topic. Do you indeed love me more than these other gentlemen love me, Peter? And Peter never answers that. Peter drops that comparison. He doesn't dare broach that comparison because he's guilty. He knows he doesn't dare compare himself with the other disciples. So he never ever answers that question. He's fully ashamed of his rash braggadocio statements from the trial night. Though all men deny thee, yet will not I. He was dead wrong about that. And so he never ever brings up the comparison between him and the other disciples. He just talks about himself. And Christ asks again, do you have charity? The second time, lovest thou me? Do you indeed love me? And Christ uses the word charity again. Do you indeed have charity for me? And Christ drops off the last part of the question because Peter never answered it. And so Christ drops it off too. Lovest thou me? Do you have charity, agape, for me, Peter? And Peter again says, second time, he says again, yes, but beyond charity, I love you dearly. And Jesus finally changes his question to match Peter's answer. Lovest thou? Phileo? Do you indeed truly love me dearly, Peter? Lovest thou me? He changes the word from agape to phileo the last time to match Peter's answer. Peter's discipleship is here on trial, and the hinge upon which his discipleship hangs is, do you truly love me? Notice that Peter would never have been able to rightfully claim he loved Jesus if he had first not repented of his sin. If there was no repentance beforehand, Peter could never be saying this. This was an evidence of his repentance. In Peter's last answer, he appeals to the omniscience of Jesus. Lord, thou knowest all things. His omniscience, the fact that he was God, he knew all things. Thou knowest all things, thou knowest. I don't have to tell you, you know in my heart, you know my heart, you know in my own heart that I dearly love thee. Thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. And Jesus did know all things. He was God. He is God. He would have known. He would have known if Peter was lying. But the only reason Peter's statement could be true was that he had previously repented of his sin. He had repented of the offense to his Lord. And because of his repentance, because he did indeed love Jesus, Jesus forgave and never brought this subject up again. We have nowhere else in Scripture this is ever brought up. Jesus never talks to Peter about his denial ever again. Jesus forgave and forgot, washed it away. And I don't believe Jesus is going to bring it up to Peter ever again, even at the judgment. He's not going to judge him for it because it's been forgiven. It's been forgiven. You see, the point is, the Lord Jesus gave a fresh start. Maybe you and I have had difficulties in this last year. Maybe you and I have had some serious failures. Maybe some things that we wish we hadn't done. Our Savior gives us a fresh start. If we repent and go to Him for forgiveness, a fresh start. Jesus forgives and gives another chance. I was going to title this message that the Lord is the God of the second chance, but that doesn't cover it. He's not just the God of the second chance, He's the God of the 20th and 40th and 100th and 1000th chance. There's no end to the restarts and try again that Jesus would give us. Jesus will forgive every sin. And again, what graver sin do you know? As a Christian, what graver sin could you do to Jesus than what Peter had done? There's nothing I could do to Jesus. I can't hurt him physically. I can't get to him and punch him. What else could I do to Jesus that would be graver than saying, I know not the man. I have no idea who that person is. He's nothing to me. Whoever he is, well, I don't care. No graver sin than that. And Jesus forgave Peter of the gravest sin you could do to Christ. The next closest thing that you could possibly do to Christ would be to hate the people that love Jesus. To hate and persecute them. There was a fella in the Bible who did that. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus hated the Christians. Saul of Tarsus said in Galatians 1:13, "For ye have heard of my conversation, manner of life, my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That's the second greatest thing, gravest sin you could do against Jesus. Because you can't get to Jesus. You can deny Him. You can deny your Lord, and you can hate those and persecute those who love him. The only two things you could do to him. And God forgave Peter, who denied him. He forgave Paul, who persecuted the church, persecuted the Christians. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God," he says, "I am what I am." God's grace. God can forgive every sin. Every sin. The gravest of sins that we can do against Christ, Jesus will forgive. Jesus forgives, forgets, and he gives us another opportunity, again and again, another opportunity to obediently serve him. But what should our attitude be? Go to 1 Timothy in closing. 1 Timothy, toward the back of the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. This is what our attitude should be like. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, by the way. He says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That should be our attitude. No matter where we are, or how spiritually we think we are doing, our attitude should not be how spiritual I am, but that I am the worst of sinners. I am the worst of sinners. Why? Why should that be my attitude? Why should that be your attitude? Because you have witnessed far more evil wickedness. You have witnessed far more evil wickedness spewing forth out of your own heart. I have witnessed far more evil wickedness coming forth of my own heart than we will ever see in somebody else. And so I know that I am the greater sinner. I know I'm a greater sinner than you are. You ought to know that you're a greater sinner than I am, because you know about your sin. I know about my sin. Our attitude should be just like the Apostle Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. He says right there, by the Holy Spirit, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He says, even the Holy Spirit says this is what our attitude should be. You see. Jesus forgave, forgot, and granted a fresh start for both Peter and Paul. He does the same for you and I still today. But don't get a big head about it. I am still the chiefest of sinners. And forgiveness is all based, a fresh start, forgiveness is all based on our repentance. If we don't repent first, then there is no forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, "Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ can forgive once there's repentance there, you see. And true repentance is rooted in true love and true devotion to Jesus Christ. So take Peter's name out of the question. Take Peter's name out of Jesus' question. Put your name in there. And Jesus asks you today, "Derek, lovest thou me more than these?" Put your name in there. Put your name in there. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Do you love Jesus more than anything or anyone else in the world? Have you repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us forgiveness. Thank you for giving us another chance to be obedient and to serve you. Father, so as we look forward to this new year, help us, Lord, to put to rest the failures that we've had And Lord, look forward in faith to being obedient to Jesus, to walking with him this next year. Bless now, I pray. Bless this message, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll take about a 10-minute break and come back.